Today marks the fifth in a series of sermons on the 23rd Psalm. It's one of the short psalms in the section of psalms as a whole, but yet it is so full of provisions that the shepherd has made for his sheep. I hope you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the 23rd Psalm. And as you're turning, let me emphasize the absolute need of bringing your Bible with you to church. You ought to always do that because it's not so important what Baptists think, though I'm a Baptist by conviction. It's not so important what Catholics think. It's not so important what Presbyterians think. It's what God says in His Word. The Bible is the final authority of faith and practice for the believer. If you want to know truth, my dear friends, stay away from a whole lot of opinions. This is an opinion-ridden age we're living in. Everybody has their two bits worth. And usually it's a little bit less than the worth of two bits. But when you read the Word of God, you're reading God's treasure house. And the 23rd Psalm, don't wait till you die to have your loved ones have the preacher stand up and read it. Hear it while you live. This is for you today. It's for me today. So the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now this morning I want to focus on the first part of verse number 3, where the Bible says, He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of provisions. Therein we see a sovereign shepherd providing for the needs of his sheep. And we've already dealt with two of these provisions. First of all, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's the provision of rest. And how we need spiritual rest today. The second message was only He leadeth me beside still waters. And that is the provision of refreshment. Water is absolutely essential to life. And God has provided this as a picture of how badly we need refreshing that comes only from the Lord. In the message today, I want to deal with the message or the provision of restoration. Restoration. The word restoreth means reviving, retrieving, recovering, and rescuing. Restoration is a beautiful thing, as in a broken vase. It's most amazing. Some vases are not very expensive, and once in a while they're comes along somebody who's produced a vase that wants $1,000 for it. And if he can pronounce it that it's a vase, he can charge $5,000 for it. But it's the same vase. The tragedy is somewhere along the line it got nicked. It got cracked. It got scarred. And so it's not going to bring as much money as it would have unless somebody knows how to restore it and to make it like it was before the fracture. Restoration. It's like a damaged portrait. Some portraits, my dear friends, you'll pay $100,000 for. Some are on up into the millions of dollars. But if there's a rain spot or a blemish in any way, it discounts the value of the product. Unless somebody knows how to restore it and bring it back to its original beauty. There is a physical restoration. There are times when we need to be physically restored. Life has a way of taking its toll on us. And the longer we live, the higher the toll rate becomes. And so physical restoration. As most of our members know, in 2009, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And I had to be operated on for that tumor. Fortunately and thankful that it was not cancerous. But following that operation, I had to face 6 weeks of physical therapy. I had to learn how to walk again. Because I could not get up on this platform and I could not get off of this platform. I had to learn how to hold things again. I had to learn how to walk with my body erect and straight again. And through a process of physical therapy, restoration came. How important. It's a beautiful thing. There is a mental restoration. Those recovering from a coma or a stroke quite often need mental therapy. Because they can no longer speak as they once spoke. And they have some handicaps that need to be taken care of. But through spiritual or physical and mental therapy, they are restored. There is a spiritual restoration. Many believers are in need of spiritual therapy. Whose hearts have become cold and distant toward the Lord and His church. And that spiritual therapy is what we're talking about this morning, the provision of restoration. I'll divide the study into three parts. Number one, the reviving of discouraged sheep. Number two, the recovering of diseased sheep. And number three, the retrieving of departed sheep. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth is both a boast and also a shame. It is a boast that our shepherd is able to lift us up regardless of what the fracture might be, regardless of what the damage might be. Regardless of how severe the break might be, our shepherd is able to lift us up. And we can boast about that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5, not too far from Psalm number 23. In Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5. Notice the reading of God's Word. I waited patiently for the Lord. Sometimes we have to wait. David had to wait and we had to wait patiently. But he said, when I waited patiently for the Lord, listen, He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. He did not send someone else, nor give me instructions how to get out of the pit. He came down in the pit where I was and brought me out. He brought me out of a miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth. even praises unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. David is boasting in the fact that he knows the shepherd and the shepherd knows him. And he's not what he used to be, but God has restored him. Not only did the Lord bring him up, not only did the Lord set him up, not only does the Lord keep him up, not only did the Lord tune him up, but the Lord turned him up. He changed his life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We boast in that. But not only is those two words he boasted a boast, it's a shame. It's a shame. It is a shame that we need restoring. Amen. It is a shame that we need restoring. When you consider what the Lord did to save you and to make you one of His, and that of all the people in the world He may have passed by, He didn't pass by you, why would we ever need restoration? Our hearts ought to continually be hot and warm and fervent for the Lord. But yet we do need restoring. Hosea 11:7 says, my people are bent to backsliding from me. Now, when I started first preaching 62 years ago, nobody liked to be called a backslider. 62 years later, nobody still does not like to be called a backslider. He's not talking about the down and out. He's not talking about the moral hypocrite. He's talking about my people. Did you get that? My people are bent. We have a proneness. We have an incline to backsliding from the Lord. God does not leave us. We leave Him. Jeremiah 3:25. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. He's speaking about God's people. He's talking about sheep. For we have sinned against the Lord our God. Idolatry is not a thing in the world, but spiritual adultery. It is giving our love to somebody else other than the Lord. It is being concerned about other things rather than being concerned about Him. And it becomes spiritual adultery. It is confusion. And dear ones, there's a lot of confusion today in our churches and in our pulpits all across America and across this land because we are committing spiritual adultery. We've left our first love and we need to be restored. Now, with this in mind, let's look at the first part of this, the reviving of discouraged sheep. The reviving of discouraged sheep. Have you ever been discouraged before? I mean a real, sure, triple dose of discouragement. You ever been there before? And don't be like one person who said, oh, no, listen, I got a handle on this thing and I know where I'm going and I can overcome this and I can do that and do that. I always say, well, how about informing your face? Because a discouragement has a way of manifesting itself on our countenance. Sheep are often in a condition of being cast down. Cast down. This is a shepherd's term, meaning a sheep is on his back and he cannot get up. You see, his legs are too short and his body is too round. And you get him on his back and he can't get up. And he's classified as a sheep that's cast down while thrashing in frustration. The blood circulation is cut off from his legs. It can be fatal if not soon remedied. Many sheep have died because they couldn't get up. Reasons for discouraged sheep. What are they? Why do we get discouraged? Why do we get depressed? Why is it some days everything's going great, other times it's like the world is against us and even the Lord is against us? In Psalm 42, verse number 11, David raises this question, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" We get bothered inside and we get depressed inside and we start becoming discouraged. Why do these things happen? As sheep, keep in mind the context. We're talking about sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Not everybody's a sheep. There's some goats out there. Goats don't belong to the Lord. It's the sheep that belong to the Lord. We are the people of His fold and the sheep of His pasture. Reasons for discouraged sheep. Number one, excessive carelessness. And the emphasis is on the word excessive. Because all of us at one time or another are going to make some mistakes. And sometimes we're going to do some things that we should not have done. But if we constantly do it, if we are excessive in carelessness, it has a way of producing guilt, and guilt produces discouragement. Often a sheep will become playful and careless. He will fall to the ground and try to roll over. And when he does, that's where he gets stuck. You see, you can run a red light long enough, but after a while, you're going to have a collision. Huh? If you make a habit of it, somebody's going to hit you. And dear friend, as a sheep, we make mistakes, but we should learn from those mistakes and go a different direction. Unless we learn that, we're going to have a wreck, and that produces discouragement. Often believers forget they're in a warfare. Did you know you are? They relax. They begin to take it easy. They become careless where they go and what they do. They become careless in their thoughts and they become careless in their speech. And soon they're trapped on their back and they can't get up. Excessive carelessness. That's one reason for discouragement. Another reason for discouragement as sheep is excessive wool. Excessive wool. A sheep takes great pride in its wool. A goat takes great pride in his horns. A sheep takes great pride in its wool. The longer it becomes, the more pride it generates. But the longer the wool becomes, the more it becomes matted and filled with stickers. The weight causes the sheep to lay down and not be able to get up. Often we become filled with pride, do we not? Because we have a better wardrobe maybe than somebody else. Our clothing is a little different, a little better. Drive a better automobile or whatever it might be. And this takes the term of excessive wool. It weighs us down spiritually, which results in being cast down. A reason for discouragement, thirdly, is excessive fat. Now, I know that's not politically correct, but I dare you, every one of you, understand what I mean when I say fat. It's what you say when you step on the scale, and you try to put that scale where no one else knows where it is or can get to it. And you pad the room. It's well insulated. And you can say, "I'm fat," but nobody else is going to know about it. Excessive fat produces laziness. Come on. And depression. A sheep can eat so much that he doesn't want to do anything, but eat some more. Believers get this way from too much doctrine. Now listen carefully. And not enough practice. You say, is there a danger today in our churches, especially Calvinistic churches, of getting too much doctrine? If you don't have a balance with practice, yes, sir, it can get you into trouble. The book of Ephesians has 6 chapters in it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The first 3 are doctrinal. They talk about election. They talk about adoption. They talk about the Holy Spirit. They're doctrinal. The last 3 chapters of Ephesians is practice, practice, practice. It tells you how to walk, how to pray, how to live. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. That's practice. And if all there is in your constitution and in my constitution today is I know the doctrines of grace, my dear friends, you're going to be as cold as a tater in the winter time. You've got to have some practice with it. You got to put it on. You got to wear it. And so excessive fat causes discouragement. How the shepherd revives discouraged sheep. When a shepherd finds that one of his sheep is kind of sickly looking, kind of down, depressed, discouraged, distraught, how does he care for discouraged sheep? For the careless, watch this. For the careless sheep, he rolls him into his arms and places him back on his feet. He holds the sheep between his legs and knees to hold him up. He massages the legs of the sheep to regain circulation. Then he slowly walks the sheep until the sheep can walk for himself. Has that ever happened to you? That you got so low and you got so down that the Lord had to teach you how to walk again? Just like a mother teaches his child to walk. Oh, look, look, he's going to take his first step. Bam! No, he didn't either. But the mother doesn't give up. Watching daily. Now the first step, isn't that wonderful? And what? Look, there's the second step. And today's the third step. And there's great rejoicing because progress is being made. It's called restoration. You say, I'm down today in a lot of ways. My dear friends, all of us have times like that. Every last one of us do. But we don't stay down. The shepherd revives discouraged sheep, the careless ones. What about those with excessive wool? Shearing is the only answer. Goats need dehorning, but sheep need shearing. It humbles the sheep as well as the believer. Can you see this sheep out here with 100 pounds of wool on it? And all of a sudden, when the shepherd gets through with him, he doesn't have 10 pounds of wool left. And all the other sheep are going, hee, 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 hee. It's an humbling thing, isn't it? To lose our merit badges. And to lose our book awards that we've earned. Excessive wool. God does this sometimes by taking away from us that which we pride in. May I give you a few examples? Our car. Our automobile. You know, you can make a god out of your automobile. Now, your cell phone's going to get jealous. I promise you that. Because the cell phone wants your complete, undivided attention 24 hours a day. God, take that thing away. What about your house? You say, oh, after all of these years, I finally got just exactly what I want. God take your house away that quick. Called shearing the sheep. What about jobs? Boy, I got the best job. I wouldn't work if I had to work for this employer or that employer. I'm so happy with my job. You should be happy with your job, but don't make your job your God. Some people cannot even come to church because of their job. And I know you have to live, and I know I have to live, but sometimes it's a mental attitude. Our job and our work become so heavy upon us and so important to us that when we come to church, instead of worshiping, we're thinking about the things about our job. Our play toys. Best not get into that this morning, huh? What is it that you really like, that you spend most of your time doing? Excessive wool. Excessive fat. What does the Lord do about that? Well, He works us, and He runs us, and He exercises the sheep. Discipline exercises the believer. Discipline exercises the believer. I do not have the time, but I can give you the reference. In Hebrews 12, 5 through 11, the writer of that epistle lays heavy emphasis on the importance of God disciplining His children. And he says, if you be without chastisement, you do not belong to me. God will discipline a wayward sheep. God will discipline a wayward sheep. Very quickly, the recovering of diseased sheep, not just discouraged sheep, but the recovering of diseased sheep. No animal is sick so frequently, nor does any creature seem to realize the danger of its actual disease so slightly as sheep. Sheep are never aware of the seriousness of their condition. The universality of this disease. We were all born diseased. According to Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, the Bible says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they provoke the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they've gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. We have an expression today. We say he's sick in the head. Sick in the head means he can't think straight. And the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there's no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Every person that is born into this world is born diseased. Diseased. Now, the recovering of the diseased sheep. The cleansing that comes only by the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1, 7, 8, and 9, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Listen, He proceeds. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. A verse or two later, he says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In the first place, he mentions that. He's not talking about committing individual sins. If we say we have no sin nature, if we say we have no sin nature, children of God have a sin nature just like children of the world have a sin nature. The only difference is we've become partakers of God's divine nature. And we have that old fragment of an Adamic nature still pulling us one way, and the Spirit of God pulling us to go another way. But it comes by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many wonderful results in the recovery. And you read about that in Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. I'd like to spend the rest of the time on this third point, the retrieving of departed sheep. The retrieving, how do you get them back? They go here, they go there. How do you get them back in the fold? Sheep are bad about wandering off from the flock and becoming lost. You said, does the Bible say anything about that? I believe it does. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have done what? Gone astray. We've turned everyone his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Have you ever raised the question, why do sheep wander from the fold? Why do sheep wander from the fold? Number one, failure to keep his eyes on the shepherd. Failure to keep his eyes on the shepherd. Constant nibbling, listen, constant nibbling in wild grass as well as good grass might lead to wandering. A little taste here, a little taste there, a little bit more over here, and a little bit moving here, and a little bit going there, and before you know it, the sun is setting, and the sheep is lost, and doesn't know where he is, just nibbling. Wild grass is the world, and there's a lot of wild grass out there. We bring it on us when we come out from the world into the house of God. It's on us like a stink. The world contaminates us. And the things of the world contaminate your mind the way you think. It's wild grass. The good grass can be religious duties. We think somehow or another, if I can hold an office in the church, or if I can do this in the church, and it's not, I'm not to discourage you in that. I think we as God's people ought to seek for every opportunity to serve the Lord in His church. But it's not your service that's so much important. It's your love for the Lord. Does that make sense? One day Christ came to visit two of His very favorite people, three of them, Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And it was lunchtime. And Mary was sitting outside talking with the Lord, and Martha was inside with an apron on, and she was making lunch. And Martha didn't like it because she had to do all the kitchen work. And she came out and reprimanded her sister, "Why don't you send her, Lord, into the kitchen and let her help me?" And the Lord said, "Mary hath chosen the better part." Dear ones, what was she doing? She was loving the Lord. And I don't care what your service is, and you should be a person as a Christian to serve the Lord, there's something that takes precedence over that. And do you love me more than these, Simon? Do you love me more than these? Sheep wander from the fold because they fail to keep their eyes on the shepherd. They also wander from the fold by following other sheep. Doing it because, preach, everybody else is doing it. Not because you necessarily want to. I tell you the thing about peer pressure that'll drive you crazy. It makes you do things you don't want to do. You don't like it. You don't like the taste of it. You don't like the smell of it. But everybody else is doing it because I've got to do it too, whether I like it or not. Following other sheep. The Lord Jesus told the disciples that He'd be dead, and in 3 days He would come forth from the grave. And on Sunday, He came forth, my dear friends. He was already arisen from the grave on Sunday, the Lord's day, anytime after 6 o'clock on Saturday night. And Simon Peter said to the disciples, I think I'll go fishing. Huh? This is Sunday morning now. Come on. I think I'll go fishing. Who said that? The Pope of Rome. Huh? Come on. You folk wake up. Peter's supposed to be the Pope of Rome, which is a farce, to be sure. But Peter said, I think I'll go fishing this Sunday morning. Got a lot of Baptists like that today. Wait a Sunday morning, I think I'll go fishing. And what did they say? We'll go with you. And he loaded up the whole boat. They didn't much care about going fishing, but since Peter's going, we might as well go with him. And the whole load left church and went to boat to fish. Sometimes we go astray because we follow other sheep. What should he have said? What should have they said? What should they have said would be something like this. Peter, we hope you drown. But we're going to God's house today. This is the day the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Sheep wander from the fold because of a failure to keep their eyes on the shepherd, because of following other sheep, and because of stubbornly following their own path. The writer of the song said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It's a tragic truth that we as sheep have a tendency sometimes to leave the God that we ought to love. How does the shepherd retrieve the wandering sheep? How does he do that? Let me insert what Mr. Augustine said in his day. Quote, I could not even seek thee unless thou hadst already found me. Isn't that wonderful? I couldn't even seek you. You see, as a lost man, you don't seek for the Lord. He comes looking for you. And as sheep, my dear friends, if we look for Him in our moment of depth of despair and discouragement and depression, it's because He first loved us. And we cannot get over that. I would close with Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Take a moment to turn to it. All right? Luke, that's over in the New Testament. Chapter number 15, 1 through 7. Then drew near unto him, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, Now, church, listen carefully to the parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying with them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. These four things. Number one, he found the sheep. He finds everything he looks for. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He found the sheep. The sheep just didn't decide, you know what, I'm going to try and look, find out where the fold is, and I'm going to get myself out. No, no. He came looking for the sheep. He found the sheep. Notice number two, he picked the sheep up in love. He didn't say, you dumb animal. If you'll follow me, I'll get you back to the fold. No, no. He reached down and he picked that sheep up in love. And on his shoulders, he brought the sheep home. And the sheep repented. By that I mean the sheep did not want to do that anymore. I'm so glad today, dear friends, that though it is a shame that we need to be restored, I do believe that God's people, many of them, need that restoration today. Thank God that our shepherd has the willingness and the ability to fully restore us. I don't know what your problems are. Mine are enough to drive me crazy at times. We all have problems. We all have fears. We all have failures. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And He restoreth us. He restoreth us. And may that be an experience in your heart today, that regardless of how deep and how far we might fall, the shepherd is always there to bring us in. 23rd Psalm is a great psalm. I hope you'll continue to be blessed by it as we study it together. Let's stand, please, for prayer.